From the campus of Stanford University, this is Schools In.
They believe that what we're being told is everything they need to know, and they just pay attention to that.
You actually have to teach the teachers how to teach for innovation.
With your hosts, Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
Welcome to Schools In. I'm Denise Pope, senior lecturer with the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford, and I am with my co-host, Dan Schwartz, the dean of the Graduate School of Education.
Dr. Ever-Rested Pope.
I am ever-rested. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I am one of those people, I know you're going to think it's crazy, but I read the research a long time ago on sleep, and I really take it seriously. I sleep 8 hours every night, and if I'm traveling or whatnot, I really try hard to go to bed to kind of make that up and get the 8 hours again. I am a religious sleeper.
And that works?
It does work. I have to say, well, first of all, I know when I'm tired, I don't make good decisions. Nobody does, right?
No. The part about being able to regulate your sleep that well.
I mean, there are times when I can't really fall asleep because it's such a big time difference wherever I am. But I will try very hard to get right back on schedule. Like, I take sleep seriously. I take it from my kids have to take sleep seriously. This is a serious thing in my house.
So my son's superpower is sleep. You know, it's like it's a third of your life. It's sort of you don't have direct control over it. He does.
Okay, explain.
He can go to sleep at any time, in any situation. He could do that as a baby. What a
nice.
I know, talk about a gift of a child.
Oh, your gift to the dad. So
he had to take, but he doesn't, you know, fall asleep when he shouldn't.
Right.
He's really got control over it. So he had to take this flight to do a job interview across the country. He took this crazy flight that, you know, saved money. It was like three legs. I'm like, what are you doing? And he said, I'll just sleep the whole flight. And
right.
I'm like, sorry, it's 12 hours in the air and it leaves at 11. He says, no, I got it.
Right.
I got it. So this is a superpower.
He doesn't have to take drugs. He just amazing.
As a baby, oh my God, it was so easy.
Oh, it's a dream.
It's not like I snap my fingers and he'd fall asleep, but...
But he was a good, solid sleeper.
Always has been. And it didn't come from my side.
Yeah.
My brother's an insomniac.
Oh.
I'm an okay sleeper, you know.
Do you try to get, because I know you stay up late.
I do.
So, and I, you know, sometimes I get emails from you, I've already gone to bed. So.
Right. That way you can't respond. It's a perfect strategy.
It's a little scary for me. But what, so how, you stay up late, but then do you sleep in? Like, are you,
yeah.
How do you, so you regulate,
yeah,
you make
I'm,
sure.
I'm one of those people where if it was left to me, every night I'd sleep an hour later and wake up an hour later and just go around the clock. It's just, it's sort of...
I don't think that's good.
No, I think this is what they put like people in caves or something and they found this. They would like go an hour later. Whether that's bad for me, I don't know. I know sleep's important.
Sleep is extremely important.
Yeah, well, it's a third of your life. My God.
Doesn't
it's,
that freak, that freaks me out a little bit. It's a third of your life. Well, that's a lot.
So do you wish you lived a third longer so you could just not lose all that time?
There are people who would say, I wish there was, you know, a way for me to not have to sleep as much. There's people who say, I can get by on 5 hours, and maybe our guest is going to dispute that. But they tell you how much they get done before you're even up. And
oh, yeah. I've always wished I could be a morning person. It's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
I like falling asleep. I don't like waking up.
Yeah. I hear you.
So anyway, we're going to learn about why sleep's important.
Yes, and particularly why sleep's important vis-a-vis learning.
Yes.
So we are really excited to have Dr. Rafael Pelayo here with us. He is a clinical professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Stanford Medicine. He studies the science of sleep, and he does research on narcolepsy, sleepwalking, dreams, and treatment of sleep disorders. So a real sleep expert.
Yeah. So I was going to tell stories about this, and then I realized they're probably not true. So we're gonna let the expert take us forward.
Leave it to the expert. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys. Thank you.
So first of all, you've heard a little bit of our.
I actually enjoyed the conversation a lot. You guys hit a lot of things, several things.
Okay,
actually.
So take it where you want to go. Why is sleep so important? I feel like we know so much more now. Why is it so important?
I like when he was talking about his baby. You just spontaneously said it's like a dream. And I don't think you did that pun intentional.
Oh, I didn't even know I said that.
Yeah, I was listening. But you said it was like a dream. You just said it was such like, oh my God, it's such a fantasy thing. How we think of it. And our dreams aren't always pleasant, but you made it sound like it's a pleasant thing, a dream.
Yes.
Right? Do you really want our dreams to come true? We hear some pretty scary dreams.
Yeah.
And what you were saying is very true about shifting over time, because it ties into the work, why we're here today,
yeah.
was that work in the caves. That was at Mammoth Cave, where they did that early research, where they isolated people, and they found out you could become free running, and they knew that the biological clock. Free running is a term that you described.
Great term.
Free running actually is considered a problem for people who are blind. But we
yeah,
see it a
I've
lot.
We've heard about this.
We hear it a lot in Silicon Valley, and a lot of our graduate students often will do this when they finish with all their coursework, just need to get their thesis done, and they're done. Their lives become, I'm working on this around the clock pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I eat whenever, sleep whenever, and they become completely desynchronized from the outside world, and they become free running themselves.
Huh.
And then they find themselves staying up later and later, and then sleeping during the day.
I stopped it because I realized I was like waking up at 8 p.m. and I would never see the sun. You know, it's just sort of like, I got to have daylight.
Yeah. So it's free. So that term free running is a real term. And it's actually now in the news if you watch TV, because for the first time, the FDA approved the medication specifically for that situation. And you'll see commercials on TV, and I'm plugging any products, guys. I don't have any conflicts.
No,
on this.
I've seen this.
But,
it's
called,
blind.
Yeah. It's called non-24. Huh. That's a phrase they're using,
oh,
non-24.
I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen that.
And that all comes directly from the research on these caves. And the reason I want to tell you this, just briefly, and I'll get to your answer in a moment. I don't want to hijack this. But the reason that Stanford is the world's oldest sleep program was because Dr. Dement, coming out of World War II, wanted to visit and learn about this. And the guy who did that work was in the University of Chicago, Nathaniel Kleitman. So that work on the caves was done in Chicago. Dement learned about it and then came to Stanford and set up our sleep program. So our entire program at Stanford on sleep, and we're the main center in the world for sleep work, is from that work that you happen to touch on the caves.
And
you didn't
mean
that.
You
said
that.
From that work in the caves. Anyway, why
All
is sleep
right,
important?
So why is sleep important?
I think anything that has a brain has to sleep, and sleep is a basic biological function. There should not need to be any convincing of anybody that sleeping is good for us. Sleeping is something the brain has to do. It's not the kidneys or the lungs that have to really sleep. It's the brain that has to do this. And if you think about it, it's a really crazy thing that it's doing, because the most vulnerable thing you can do as an animal is to sleep.
Yeah.
So all animals protect themselves while they're sleeping. And one of the earliest sleep scientists said, if sleep has no functions, the biggest mistake evolution ever made. Because it's a really weird thing that we do. And all these different animals, as they specialize and adapt to the environments, they retain the need for sleep. One crazy maybe exception to all this, there's debate whether bullfrogs sleep. But that's a separate
sharks.
Issue.
I thought sharks had to keep moving.
Yeah, no, but you can move and sleep at the same time. It also has to do how you define sleep. But the example that's often used is how dolphins sleep. Dolphins are very specialized animals, need to breathe, swim fast, avoid sharks. Make more dolphins. They can swim and sleep at the same time. One half of the brain sleeps, the other half of the brain stays awake, and they switch from side to side. And birds that migrate do the same thing. They can actually fly and sleep at the same time. And in California, we know that the seals, when they're in the water, they sleep like the dolphins do, half the brain at a time. When they're on the beach, both sides sleep. So in the end, sleep is a restorative process to the brain. It makes you feel good. We have to do it.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking with Dr. Rafael Pelayo about sleep and the importance of sleep. And let's turn this now to why it's important for learning. What happens?
Right.
So it's restorative, but I also know there's some connection between sleep and learning.
It has to be. I mean, anybody who's ever studied or had to learn something has had the experience of working, staying up, doing some homework, working on something you have to get done. And at some point, the lines get blurry. You can't concentrate anymore. You're like, I can't do this anymore. I don't care. I remember doing this in college. Like, I have to stay up and do this work. I'm like, I can't stay awake anymore. It's not sinking in. You just close it. You fall asleep. I fall asleep on my books many times. Just crash, go to sleep. And then after a few hours, you pop awake, and all of a sudden, something that seemed impossible to understand a little while ago now comes clear to you. So the brain needs to sleep, and in part, one of the current thinking about sleep is that sleep is related to one of the functions with an S, functions of sleep, will be this idea of how the brain forms memory, how does it learn. And it's actually been studied where they do experiments where they teach people, they give them some tasks to learn.
Like typing. You learn to type.
Typing with the non-dominant hand,
that's
for example.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Or memorize a list of words.
Right.
And they do this, and then they have they do the experiment where you have to learn this. They let the person sleep, and then they repeat the testing of it. And the person's scores always jump after you let them sleep. Not just the passage of time, because they'll control for time by flipping the order of how the experiment is done to manipulate it. So they isolate just the sleep component. And whenever the person is allowed to sleep, their scores improve. Anything has to do with memory and memorization and learning – you'll do better if you learn. And not just memorization, also what they call procedural memory, like a play or something you have to do, a sequence, like typing, playing a musical instrument, you need to sleep.
So that old adage that I say to my kids, like, don't stay up and cram all night to study for a test. You're actually going to do better if you go to sleep and let it sink in.
Let it sink in. So there's different stages of or phases of sleep. Do we know, like, which one? So, like, if I get that 20-minute nap and I'm going to hit a particular stage of sleep, is that the one that's going to help me consolidate that memory?
It's a common question.
Yeah.
People say, which part of sleep is more important?
Yes.
And I always say, it's kind of asking which gear in your transmission is the most important one. Is it, you know, if your car can't make it to fourth gear, you can get from here to wherever you're going in third gear, but it's inefficient, you're putting wear and tear on it.
Great analogy.
It's the continuity that really matters to it. It's the overall flow, how smooth it goes. Yeah. You can get by with less sleep. We're not fragile creatures. You can skip lunch without going to hypoglycemic shock. You can, you know, go without water for a while. You can go longer without food or water than you can without sleep, by the way. Sleep is more important than both of those things.
I love that. Sleep is more important than food or water.
As far as how well you can do, you can go longer without eating than you can without sleep.
Didn't they do studies with puppies where they, like, kept them up and they, like, died?
So,
it was, like, the darkest study
That's
ever.
That's so horrible.
So, actually, yes. The original sleep deprivation research was with puppies, and they died.
They
sleep deprived to the point of death, and they die of sepsis, of infections. But the problem with those early research, and I don't do any animal research, but the problem with that, not that I'm opposed to it, it's just I just don't have the skills to do it. The thing with the animal research, those early days of sleep deprivation, the only way you could sleep deprive an animal was by torturing it.
Oh.
Because how could you keep it awake? If you leave the animal alone, they would sleep.
Right.
So they're never able to separate the effects of lack of sleep from the stress induced by making you stay awake. Because if you leave the animal alone, they'll just sleep.
So anyway, as far as
the sleep, is there... Different parts of memory seem to have different parts to sleep, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So that some of the emotional stuff needs to be related to dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
But stage two sleep is thought to be more the spindles and K complex of doing more memory consolidation. And then slow wave sleep, which is this different kind of sleep, also has a separate role. Mm-hmm. So memory is so complex that different parts of sleep have different roles in it.
Interesting.
And interesting how this all played out because at Stanford, Dr. Dement is still here. Anybody wants to meet Dr. Dement, he's around, you can meet him. He thought dreaming was it. Coming out of World War II and Freud, it was all about dreaming. And he just found the link. He helped find the link between rapid eye movement sleep and dreaming. And because he was a two-finger typist, he didn't want to keep writing rapid eye movement sleep. He called it REM, REM. And then everything else was non-REM because it wasn't that important.
Right.
So it's very disrespectful to the rest of sleep.
Oh, that's Dr. how it all played out. You got to be more respectful.
He knows it now.
No, he's a legend. He's actually incredible. This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking with Dr. Pelayo, a sleep expert here from Stanford. And I know that adolescents have a whole different way of sleeping. This is very important when we're talking about schools and schools start so early and kids are exhausted. And they're in our study, in the Challenge Success Study of 100,000 kids, the average of these adolescents is about 6 hours a night. That's the average. So that's,
are they all walking around with headaches?
They have headaches, they're exhausted, they have trouble staying up. They have a whole bunch of sleep issues. So talk to us about what we should do for these adolescents.
You want to make sleep a priority in their lives. And this is something that adults are putting on their kids. We talk about sleep deprivation as a form of torture. We are torturing these kids. It's how many times in your professional careers have you ever said at a lecture or heard somebody say to you, I want you to follow your dreams, follow your dreams.
Well, I know where this is going.
You may know this. Dreaming dominates the last third of the night. Dreams are not evenly distributed. Dreams are the last third of the night. So when you wake up early, what you're cutting off is the dreaming sleep specifically.
Yeah.
We want these kids to dream. You're cutting off the chance to dream for them. In fact, when I look at a sleep study, when I evaluate it, if I want to know whether the study was done properly or not, I look at how much time they spend dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the kids get kicked out too early from the sleep lab and they cut off their dreaming time.
Wow.
When you don't get enough sleep, the first sign of getting inadequate sleep is being inattentive and a little bit grumpy, a little trouble with memory, word finding stuff, but usually inattentive. Just know whenever you interact with any teenager, odds are that person is sleep deprived. And girls seem to be even more sleep deprived than boys. So you know you're dealing with somebody who's inattentive. It's not uncommon for kids to fall asleep in class in high school.
Right.
It's very rare for this to happen in elementary school.
Right.
If a third grader or second grader falls asleep in class, the parents would be notified. Because the assumption is, well, they're asleep because they're bored. Mm. But was high school more boring than second grade? I don't think so.
Yes.
Some ways, right?
For Dan.
But how people now evaluate the quality of a teacher, a teacher's considered a good teacher if they are entertaining.
Yeah.
Because you have to entertain the kids to keep them awake because they don't sleep deprived audience.
Right.
That's what's happening with them.
Right.
Not getting enough sleep. And it's not just whether they have headaches or not, but lack of sleep is an independent risk factor for suicide and for car accidents. The two most common causes of death in these teenagers is car accidents and suicide. Mm-hmm. And sleep is directly linked to both of them. And this has been shown now by there's data now showing that if the kids get more time to sleep, these things improve. Mental health improves and car accidents decrease. The Rand Corporation, this has been now demonstrated.
It was correlational study or they RC?
It's always going to be correlational or public health type studies because you can't really do the interventional type study.
That's what I was wondering.
Because the ethics of it.
Yeah. But we absolutely know that there's a correlation and the horrible suicide clusters that we've been seeing across the U.S. Mm-hmm. in teens, many, many, many of them, the parents will have said, you know what? I have no idea when he was going to sleep. I think he was sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night. And that was causing the suicide. I shouldn't say causing. That was related to suicide ideation, death by suicide, et cetera. So depression, anxiety. We always know that when you're depressed or anxious, it's harder to fall asleep. Like your mind is spinning. But we're just finding out now that it actually sleep deprivation, I think it can lead to a depressive episode, yes?
Yeah, no, it's not only that. Yes, it's a bidirectional, but the science has been worked out even better than that. There's something called the fMRI, functional magnetic imaging, and the fMRI data shows that when somebody is sleep deprived, the brain goes into a mode that's different than when the brain is sleep satiated. Because we said earlier, animals do not voluntarily sleep deprive themselves. If everything is okay, they'll sleep when they need to, eat and do what they have to do. So to the brain, if you're not getting enough sleep, it means something is wrong. And what happens is when you don't get enough sleep, the brain switches into a mode that something is wrong, and therefore the brain takes bigger gambles. And the brain will undervalue the punishment, the risk, thank you, and overvalue the reward. Mm. So people become impulsive. This is no way gamblers. The longer they stay awake, the more they're likely to do it. But it's been seen with teenagers and also with sleep-deprived teenagers because you can do driver simulator experiments with them.
Yeah.
And that's in a safe environment. And they find that as they sleep-deprive the teenager, when you sleep-deprive yourself, cortisol secretions surge. Cortisol makes us feel good. So all of a sudden you're feeling euphoric and people start getting don't get enough sleep a little bit. They actually have a good feeling about it. Sleep deprivation has antidepressant properties at a mild at a certain level. Mm. So they feel good about themselves. And the scary part is the teenagers, when they sleep deprived them on the driving simulators, they thought they were driving better than when they were fully sleep-driven, but they were making more mistakes.
Yeah.
The worst combination of all.
You think
you're sleeping well and you're making more mistakes.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We will have more with Rafael Pelayo, sleep expert, next on SiriusXM Insight 121.
You're listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope from the campus of Stanford University.
Welcome back to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking with Dr. Rafael Pelayo about sleep, all things sleep. He is a true expert here at the Stanford Sleep Center. And I want to move us to a topic that is somewhat controversial in my work, which is this idea around later start times, particularly for middle schools and high schools, so particularly for adolescents. And to explain what that means to folks who don't know is right now, many, many, many schools across the country start at 7:30, 7:40, 7:50. And what we know from adolescents is that they are not fully awake at this time, or at least that's what I'm hearing. You can back that up. And there's a bunch of people out there who are trying to get schools to start later. Ideally, I think the American Pediatric Association said 8:30 should be the earliest. And it's hard to get all these people to agree. We've got bus schedules. We've got, you know, this affects when the school day ends. We've got, well, then there's no lights on the field for athletics if that's going to go later. Everybody has an excuse for why these late starts are so difficult. So what's your opinion?
Well, the science is that as we shift into puberty, the way that we sleep is differently. Primates do this and rodents do this also. When you go through adolescence, there's a biological shifting towards a tendency to go to bed later at night. This is balanced by a tendency for older folks to go to bed earlier. In a tribe of people, it makes sense that somebody should be watching the fire at night. Mm. Who's going to watch the fire? People, you make the young people do it. Also, some people have also argued, explained that See, in science, we know what we can measure, but we try to find the why is a speculation. Mm. So it's the biological fact that a population of teenagers, when they go through puberty, will shift to a later bedtime. It's not the TV, it's not the technology, because again, other animals do this too when they go through puberty.
So let me...
Go ahead.
Okay, so I always get confused on this. We do have seasons and there's longer light. So right now, as we're getting to a longer light period, will the teenagers go to bed even later? Is it locked to sunlight or is it locked at 24 hours?
I think there's no doubt. Well, we can speculate this a little bit, but human sleep is probably seasonal. If I ask any of you, any listener, about your sleep needs or sleep desires, you're going to give me two numbers. And you'll say things like, I like to get 7, but I can get by with 5. Or, I love 9, but as long as I get 6. And you always have these two numbers in your head. That's probably the seasonality of this. And listeners in Alaska will tell you they sleep more in the winter, less in the summer. Mm. We're diurnal creatures. We're social creatures. We've got excellent color vision. We should take advantage of the long days. Mm. Daylight savings is all about swapping morning light for afternoon light. That's all it is. Mm. So there is this idea that there is some seasonality to this. At the same time, people often ask about hibernation, because that's not sleep. It's a different thing that'll do. There's less food available and you save energy that way. But the teenagers have this biological shifting that goes on. And also what happens is growth hormone secretion peaks in the first third of the night. You're not really growing all the time. The lengthening of the bones occurs in sleep. Mm-hmm. Underwriter Laboratories has actually measured this.
Wow.
Smoke alarms will not wake up a sleeping teenager. When they're in the slow wave sleep, you can't count on a smoke alarm to wake up a sleeping teenager in the first third of the night. We go into very deep sleep. Our deepest sleep, as far as the level of sleep, as far as how much noise to wake somebody up or how much stimulation to wake somebody up, the depth of sleep is greatest at that the beginning of the night, right then and there. It used to be in California, school started at 9 o'clock in the morning, long, long time ago. And what happened is the population grew throughout the country. Transportation was underfunded, so instead of adding buses, they said let's just stagger them. And the idea was, well, the high school kids can get to school earlier on their own. So even the high school kids start earlier. And the middle school, in the middle, and the little kids go a different time. So we end up in a situation now where the kids are sleep deprived. A lot of kids are starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. And there's always been this push, because if you try to change the school start time, well, all the schools have to be coordinated. And it's very cynical. And I remember learning about this when it first came out. The thinking was, well, if we just delay the school start time, the kids are just going to stay up later.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Right, and they can say whatever they want to say, but we can measure these things. You can do the experiment. And the data was, over 20 years ago, they did it in Minnesota, was the first place that did it, was when they changed the school start time by an hour, the kids got about 40 more minutes of sleep per night. Yeah, they stayed up a little bit longer, but they got 40 more minutes of sleep every single night. But more importantly, grades went up and things improved. And now this has been replicated over and over again.
Wow.
In some school districts, when they changed it by 15 minutes, the kids ended up with 21 minutes of sleep.
Right.
Because the kids now are learning the importance of sleeping, and then they feel better. The teachers can tell this. In schools around here that have block schedules, they'll notice that in the days the kids get more sleep, it's a different environment, different feeling of this. So we got to put the cynicism aside.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope, and we're speaking with Dr. Pelayo about all things related to sleep and teenagers. We're just talking about late starts, and it sounds like you have studies that show that they're not going to just stay up later, that it actually does help them get more sleep. And even 15, 20 minutes will make a difference?
Yeah, of course it will. I mean, the idea that if school starts later, they're just going to stay up later. It's like saying somebody, I know you're starving, but I'm not going to feed you because you're going to waste the food. Mm-hmm. And that's not what people do. They'll eat because they're hungry.
This, I am sleep. Gonna use that. I love
Please
that.
Do. Please tell everybody. This is a biological thing. We don't do this. One thing happens with teenagers, the first evidence you see somebody's not getting enough sleep is the sleeping in on weekends. That's not a biological thing to do. Parents wish the second graders would sleep in. 8 and 9 year olds don't sleep in. They
right.
pop awake like it's a regular day because they're sleep saturated, sleep satiated. The kids are getting are not getting enough sleep during the school week. They try to sleep in. Imagine we did this with food. We say to kids, hey, Monday through Friday, I'm going to starve you. Saturday and Sunday, eat all you like. And then Monday, I'm going to start starving you again. We think that's insane. But that's exactly what we're doing with their sleep right now.
So should we allow our teenagers to sleep in on the weekends?
We wanted to have healthier sleep throughout the 24-hour cycle all the time. Make sleep a priority to the health. Kids these days, they know the dangers of smoking. It's been drilled into the head about drugs and alcohol since the very beginning when first step foot on the schools. But sleep is just an afterthought. It's not really talked about too much. And the first thing we want to do is provide this education. That's why I'm happy to do shows like this, because people need to understand that it's not natural to fall asleep just because you're bored. Boredom does not make anybody sleepy. If somebody's falling asleep to my voice right now, it's not my fault. Not that I'm boring you. It's that you're sleep deprived to begin with, and you should pull over if you're in a car.
Yes.
Okay? because monotony unmasks sleepiness, because monotony to the brain is equated as safety. Mm. You don't feel bored when you're in danger. You feel bored when you feel safe, monotony, right? And if you are safe, then the brain says, well, what should I do now? Let's catch up on this thing that I'm missing, which is sleep. It's safe to sleep because sleeping is dangerous. If I'm bored, it means it's a safe time to catch a nap and sleep. That's why we like routines for sleep.
Really quickly, naps in middle school, naps in high school. We set aside 20 minutes, everybody lays down. And
I'm wondering, maybe you needed less naps yourself, and that's why they made you the monitor.
Could be.
Because that's why they did it. You were awake anyway. Might as well make this kid do something, put him to use.
Yeah,
there's a natural tendency to nap, and that'll tend to go away between the ages of 3 to 6. And I remember me being in kindergarten, and you would have like a towel on the floor, or what they gave us.
Yeah.
And having like laying there bored, and you hated it because you don't want to do this.
So in the very last minute, I want to know what you think then of sleep pods, because that's like the hot new thing in high schools, is to allow it, only one person can fit in there.
This is like a telephone booth on its side.
Yeah. And it's to get kids to like really take some naps. What do you think?
It's there are sleeping clubs and napping clubs in different schools, a lot of technology. And there's all this tech. I just came from a conference just on mattresses and all this technology. And you think about this, and I'm looking at this tech, and I'm thinking to myself, we took naps in kindergarten on a towel.
Yeah, on
and
the
in
hard
high
floor.
School, and in high school, you just fall asleep in somebody's couch in college, and now they have these $1,000 devices. Anything that's going to make people respect their sleep is important. So I'm okay with the technology. But the key thing is if somebody says, I can't sleep without it, that's an issue. You should be able to sleep normally. You should be able to go to bed feeling safe, comfortable, and loved. You want serenity. And that's what you really want in a good night of sleep.
Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Pelayo. And thank all of you for listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. If you missed any of this episode, listen anytime on demand with the SiriusXM app, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
From the campus of Stanford University, this has been Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.